What I want to do right now is focus a little bit more intently on this divisional round matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. Kind of look back at the week three matchup between these two sides and figure out the five 49ers players who really need to step up and have great games for this San Francisco team to have a chance of beating Green Bay. Because at the end of the day, I do think that the Packers had a better roster. And I'm not sure that I would say that about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not sure that I would say that about the LA Rams. But I do think that the Green Bay Packers have a better roster and are more equipped to win a Super Bowl than the San Francisco 49ers. Does that mean that they'll beat the 49ers? Of course not. But what it does mean is the 49ers have to play a heck of a game, have to force Green Bay into a ton of mistakes, and have to have a lot of things go right, the ball bounce their way, for them to have a chance this week on the road at Lambeau Field. So let's look back at week three when the 49ers admit they didn't have an identity. They were 2-0 at the time when the Packers invaded Levi's Stadium and the 49ers fell behind early. It was 10-0 after the first quarter. The Green Bay Packers were up big in the second quarter, and at halftime it was 17-7. Then Jimmy G leads three second-half scoring drives, including two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter to give the 49ers the lead. It was 28-27 when Jimmy Garoppolo found Kyle Juszczyk with 37 seconds left, and we had that whole week of fallout. Should Kyle Juszczyk have gone down at the one-yard line? I maintain the answer, absolutely not. If you've got the opportunity to score in the final minute, you have to score. You trust your defense to get the job done. Inside of, 45 seconds, the defense should have gotten the job done. That was not on Kyle Juszczyk for scoring a touchdown and his lack of awareness. That was on his awareness to get in the end zone. It was on the defense for giving up completions to Davante Adams on the final drive. I believe it was a 25-yard completion, a 17-yard completion that then set up Mason Crosby's 51-yard game winner for the Packers to win it 30-28 at Levi's Stadium. But I digress. We don't learn a whole lot from week three when we're looking at this divisional round matchup because the 49ers were a completely different football team at the time. Their leading rusher in that game, Trey Sermon. I just don't recall a time in this season when Trey Sermon was a more valuable player to the San Francisco 49ers than Elijah Mitchell. But post Raheem Mostert injury, that was the reality for this 49ers team. Elijah Mitchell was injured or did not play, and the 49ers were riding Trey Sermon, the rookie out of Ohio State, to see what they could get from him. 10 carries, 31 yards. He got nowhere on the ground. Kyle Juszczyk, 5 carries, 14 yards. He got nowhere on the ground. 49ers in that game, 21 carries, 67 yards, 3.2 yards per carry. They got nowhere on the ground. That is not the 49ers football team that we know today. That is not a Kyle Shanahan coached football team. That is not a Kyle Shanahan coached offense. And so in looking at this week's game, it is abundantly clear to me that the number one player who has an opportunity, has an outsized impact on this game, if the 49ers are going to win, it's Deebo Samuel. And it's not just because Deebo Samuel can torch the Green Bay Packers through the air. It is because Deebo Samuel is now a huge part of the run game. As Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area insider, indicated on the KMBR airways earlier this week, 49ers may even use him on special teams this week because the Green Bay Packers, if you can believe it or not, they are worse than the San Francisco 49ers in terms of special teams. Their DVOA ranking is a few spots behind the San Francisco 49ers. And no disrespect to Richard Hightower, but this 49ers special teams unit this season has been maybe the worst of my lifetime. It's been an abomination. It's been a weekly disaster. And somehow, some way, the Green Bay Packers are actually worse. So think about the ways that Deebo Samuel can impact this 49ers team. It's almost like three different phases of the game. Of course, he can impact the game as a wide receiver. He had 5 catches, 52 yards in their first matchup. So the 49ers were featuring him as a wide receiver. At that point in the year, he was not incorporated in the run game the way he is now. We saw him call his shot against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. We know what Deebo Samuel can do as the wide back for this 49ers team, pushing the ball to the outside like Raheem Mostert was able to do a few years ago in that NFC Championship game. And so it will be fascinating to see the way that the 49ers unveil Deebo Samuel against this Green Bay Packers defense and potentially against the Green Bay Packers special teams units. But no doubt in my mind, Deebo Samuel, he touched the ball 5 times against the Green Bay Packers in week 3. At minimum, it's got to be 15 this week. At minimum, and probably closer to 20, because we're talking about maybe the most dynamic playmaker in the NFL at this juncture of the season. And he has got to have the ball in his hands far more than he did in week three for the 49ers to have an opportunity. Now, with that being said, all of this talk about the 49ers run game, all the talk about Jimmy Garoppolo not necessarily being equipped to lead the 49ers through the air right now because of that thumb injury and that shoulder sprain. And quite frankly, do you really want Jimmy Garoppolo hucking the ball 30, 35 times a game? The answer, when he's fully healthy, is no. So all of that talk about the run game is good, and it's particularly important for Deebo Samuel to have a great game. But you're also going to need rookie Elijah Mitchell to really step up and step up in a major way. And Elijah Mitchell has been known to do that for this 49ers team. He was outstanding at times against the Dallas Cowboys. I go back to that touchdown run opening drive where he read a perfect block from Kyle Juszczyk, waltzed right into the end zone, looked like he was due for a big day. And Elijah Mitchell throughout the second half of this season, when healthy, has been such a valuable contributor to this 49ers team. Is he Raheem Mostert? No, he's not. Of course not, because very few backs, very few NFL players have that kind of burst. But Elijah Mitchell's shifty. He can get through tough yards on inside zone. He can find holes on outside zone. He can run just about every play in this Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel offense, and that is extraordinarily valuable because it allows the 49ers to have Deebo Samuel on the field, line him up at wide receiver, and still hand the ball to a player that they trust in Elijah Mitchell, who, by the way, has not fumbled yet in his NFL career. And so if he fumbles on Saturday, you can come back to me. You can tweet me at KO_Crowley. You can say I jinxed him. But I will say ball security is going to be a huge factor in Saturday's outcome in this divisional round. You want someone who you can trust with the football in his hands. Elijah Mitchell has been that guy for the 49ers this season. No question in my mind. So top two players who have the ability to influence the outcome of this game. For the 49ers to upset the Green Bay Packers on the road at Levi Stadium and end their season, move to 4-0, by the way, against Aaron Rodgers in the postseason, 49ers have to control the ball on the ground, and it's got to be with Deebo Samuel being a featured back, and it has to be with Elijah Mitchell toting the rock 15 to 20 times as well. That is going to be the difference from week three, when those two players combined for zero offensive yards from the running back position. Deebo Samuel did carry the ball twice, but he did not gain a yard. That has to be different this week against the Green Bay Packers.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Looking at a third player who has to step up. We're going through the top five for the 49ers right now who must step up to give this team a chance. To me, Fred Warner. Fred Warner, who finished that game against Green Bay with 9 tackles, 5 solo. But at that juncture of the season, really, the first, 6, 8, 10 weeks of this NFL season, Fred Warner was not playing like the second or third highest paid linebacker in the NFL. He was not playing like the all-pro the 49ers expected him to be when they gave him that major contract extension. He was not playing like the Pro Bowl linebacker that we know he can be. And over the last few weeks, Fred Warner absolutely has been that sideline to sideline guy. And I know that he's dealing with an injury, and I know that there was the scare against the Dallas Cowboys and that he's been limited at practice this week. But one thing is for sure, when it's playoff time, your guys are going to be on the field, whether they're hurt, whether they're battered, whether they're beaten down. You're going to have Fred Warner on the field. No question in my mind that if he's able to go, he will be out there. And the 49ers are going to count on him to be able to stop A.J. Dillon and this Green Bay Packers rushing attack. Because the last thing the 49ers can afford this week, we know that Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams can single-handedly take over a game. Even if the Green Bay Packers don't run the ball effectively, we know that Rodgers and Adams can still take over the game. But we know that Fred Warner has to play a pivotal role in stopping A.J. Dillon and this Green Bay Packers rushing attack. Because if they get both phases of this offense going, it's probably over for San Francisco. Let's be real. It's probably over for the 49ers if the Packers run the ball and pass the ball effectively. I don't see the 49ers winning a 45-42 shootout. I see the 49ers winning a 28-24 game, a 21-17 game, where they dominate time of possession, where they take the ball deep into Green Bay territory. You know, maybe they convert on fourth down a few times, really stretch the clock. But I don't see the 49ers getting into a shootout type of affair in the cold at Lambeau Field and having an opportunity. And I know that A.J. Dillon, at 250 pounds, the quad monster, is tough to bring down, but I also know that Fred Warner, Azeez Alshire, Dre Greenlaw, you put those three players in the middle of this 49ers defense, Eric Armstead with all the success that he has had at the defensive tackle position, you know that you can trust Fred Warner right now. And so he, to me, is number three on this list. Maybe the most important 49ers defensive player behind the two offensive players I've already listed in terms of dictating this outcome for San Francisco, Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell. You look at other players on this 49ers defense who must step up for the 49ers to have a chance against the Green Bay Packers. Pretty obvious to me. Whoever is aligned most against Davante Adams, who, by the way, 12 for 136 and a touchdown in that week three meeting. The last time these two teams met, November of 2020, 10 for 173 and a touchdown. Davante Adams owns the San Francisco 49ers because Davante Adams owns everyone. He is the best playmaker, in my opinion, in the NFL at the wide receiver position, purely as a wide receiver. I think that you can make the case that Deebo Samuel is a better overall playmaker, but you would have to include what Deebo Samuel does as a running back to make that case. When it comes to just pure technique at the wide receiver position, it is hard to be better than Palo Alto High's Davante Adams, than Fresno State's Davante Adams. What he does, he completely opens the field, changes the game. He's able to play both in the slot and at the outside receiver position. He can work all over the field. And so it's not just going to be one 49ers cornerback needing to step up and stop him. Although I will say this, I don't expect Nathaniel Hackett, the Packers offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, the play caller for Green Bay, to line Davante Adams up almost exclusively against Emmanuel Mosley. I think they're going to target situations where Davante Adams is lined up against Ambry Thomas, 49ers rookie out of Michigan, who got off to an extraordinarily shaky start to the point where no one trusted him, where no one thought that he was ever going to pan out, and now is being counted on in a starting role ahead of Josh Norman, ahead of D'Amador Lenore, ahead of Dante Johnson, and ahead of just about every other corner on this 49ers depth chart. So I do think that Ambry Thomas is going to be the guy who Nathaniel Hackett and Matt LaFleur really target to match up Davante Adams, and as a result of that, I'll list him as the fourth player behind Fred Warner, behind Deebo Samuel, behind Elijah Mitchell, who has to have an outstanding game for the 49ers to have a chance against the Green Bay Packers. Does that mean the 49ers need to hold Davante Adams under 100 yards to win? No, because Davante Adams probably gets 100 yards against everyone, and is particularly going to top that total in this NFC divisional round, because the Packers would be fools if they were not throwing to Davante Adams, putting the ball in his hands as much as the 49ers were putting the ball in Deebo Samuel's hands. But they've got to be able to contain him and prove that they can do so on at least a semi-regular basis. So last player that's got to step up for the 49ers this week, do we anticipate that he'll play coming out of concussion protocol? It's Nick Bosa. And I say that because Aaron Rodgers is extremely effective in just about every situation. But you can get to Aaron Rodgers when your pass rush is solid. You can get to Aaron Rodgers when you have one of the most explosive players in the league coming off the edge. And we don't know if David Bakhtiari will play for this Green Bay team on Saturday. We don't know if the Green Bay Packers are going to use the same strategy that teams like the Tennessee Titans, that like the LA Rams used against Nick Bosa in the final weeks of the regular season to really keep him down and prevent him from taking over a game at the pass rusher position. But what we can say is that when he's at his best, Nick Bosa is one of the most unstoppable pass rushers in the NFL, and he can single-handedly change a game. The 49ers are probably going to need him to do that. I go back to NFC title game when he comes up with the fumble recovery. Fred Warner had the sack. 49ers immediately got the ball in the end zone against Green Bay and never looked back from there. I just think that being able to generate a consistent pass rush that has Aaron Rodgers scrambling, remember he's had that toe injury all season, that has Aron Rodgers off schedule. Remember, when he and Davante Adams get in a rhythm, no one looks better as an NFL duo than those two. If they're able to get him off schedule, it is going to be pivotal for the 49ers to figure out a way to do that, and I think that they can win if Nick Bosa has a huge game. So let's recap the five players who I believe will have the biggest impact on Saturday's outcome in this NFC divisional round if the 49ers are going to upset the Green Bay Packers. Top of the list, Deebo Samuel, no question about it. Wide receiver, running back, special teams demon, use him in every possible way. Elijah Mitchell, rookie running back, use him to tote the rock 15 to 20 times. Take over time of possession, dictate the tempo of this game on the ground in the cold air in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Fred Warner, he has to be the key to stopping A.J. Dillon and turning the Packers into a one-dimensional football team. If they're able to get the run game going, it's probably over for the San Francisco 49ers. Ambry Thomas, looking at this 49ers defense, knowing this cornerback situation, knowing that the Packers will probably try and align Davante Adams up against 49ers rookie as much as they possibly can. Ambry Thomas got to have the game of his life. And then it's Nick Bosa, who has been so valuable, so dominant off the edge for this San Francisco 49ers team. So that is it for our five 49ers players who must step up.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.